Thank you.
But let me say this. During this series of discerning the times we're in, we've gone through some things, haven't we?
Yes.
We talked about the manifestation of the sons of God. Now more than ever, the world is waiting to see if God is real. Mm-hmm. And there's basically three things they want to know. Is it real? Does it work for you? Will it work for me? Too much of the body of Christ is stuck in the mode of, well, I really don't know how that works, and I really don't know how that works, and why did he give us his word? So that we can know how it works.
Amen.
How to operate in the kingdom of God. How the Spirit speaks to us. How the Spirit reveals things to us. What is the voice of the Lord? How do I know his voice? Where can I obtain wisdom? We talked about that last week. And we talked about the fact that God has made Christ unto us wisdom. And he dropped that in your spirit. And the way to tap into that is through praying in the Spirit. So I want to go through some things because some people get confused. If you're like me, when I got born again, the first church that I went to and started really learning to get a doctrinal foundation anyhow was a church that preached against the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I mean, they think that they're not, but they are. Because they told me tongues is of the devil. It's not for today. That passed away. Healing is not, the gifts of the Spirit have all passed away. We don't need that because they said, we have this. But the one thing that they forgot to say is that the one who wrote most of the New Testament operated in the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
He needed them. And unless you have the same revelation as the Apostle Paul did, you need them too.
Yep.
And in fact, unless you have a revelation that exceeds him,
right.
And Peter, and James, and Jude, and John, you need the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life. That's number one. Number two is God introduced himself to mankind as an unchangeable, immovable, eternal person. He doesn't change. If you're perfect, you don't need to change. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Why would he have to change? He doesn't change. And if he calls himself Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider,
amen.
What right does any man have to say that he's no longer the provider? And if he introduces him as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, or the ever-present one, what right does any man have to change his name and say, no, he's not with us anymore? Mm-hmm. Or Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Or Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our victory, our banner of victory. Or any of the compound redemptive names of God that he used in his word. What right does any man have to say that he's no longer Jehovah Rapha? The Lord our healer. They told me that God doesn't do this anymore. Well, does he change?
No.
One thing is God is not relegated. He is not under the dominion of time. He created time. Time submits to him. And he doesn't relate to mankind based on time. He relates to mankind based on covenants. The covenants that he made with Noah, Abraham, David, and all of these, and Moses, the blood covenants and everything of the Levitical priesthood, all pointed to the one blood covenant that would be established in his own blood. You know, when a baby is in the placenta of the mother does not give a baby their blood type. A fetus receives no blood from the mother. It's all from the father. It is in the seed. The blood that was in Jesus' veins was the blood of your heavenly father. And it speaks forever. It is an eternal covenant. And in that covenant, he has locked up promises, blessings, declarations, gifts, everything that we possibly need that we can tap in through faith. Why is that? Why do we have to tap into through faith? Because It's one thing the devil can't do is believe God. He cannot have faith because he's so filled with pride, he's excluded. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 3 real quickly once. We will get to today's message. But I think this is more in tune with the message that we need to receive today. Romans chapter 8, verse...
3 or 8?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, you're right. I finally made a mistake. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 24 says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Propitiation is a total satisfaction of the price required. Through faith in his blood, ooh, praise God, to declare his righteousness for remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? What's boasting? It's an evidence of pride. Boasting, pride, egotism, arrogance. It's all, look at the next line, says, it is excluded. The devil is excluded from the covenants of God, from the promises of God, because he cannot work in faith. Faith is an alien force, and he has no defense for it. When you believe God, he has no defense for it. When you walk in the Word of God and in faith in the Word of God, he has no defense for it. He cannot do a thing about it. That's why he's after that, to steal the Word of God, kill your faith, and destroy your hope. And you need hope in order to have faith.
Yes.
Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you have no hope, then you have nothing to hang your faith on. Is this good?
Yeah.
Come on. Keep your coming.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. So we're getting into some spiritual issues here. But you need that. You need to understand, not just, my parents used to say, you'll do it and you'll like it. Well, the thing is, after a while, my dad got it. He says, you know, you need to know why these things won't work if you disobey your parents. You need to know why. See, it's the why. Why? God wants, the Spirit of God shows us the why we need to do these things. And that's why it's important to pray. And we taught, he who prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays.
Right.
However, his mind is unfruitful. See, your spirit and your mind are two different things. You know, science has had to back up a lot on their declarations of evolution and things like that because of the science of DNA. Did you know this? DNA proves that there is no real connection between the animal life and human beings. It's totally different. There are commonalities in it because we all came from the, God created everybody. And we all came out of the earth. So there is commonalities.
Yeah.
But the difference between man and animal and the DNA, there is no relation whatsoever. Oh, so we had to change that. What else are they going to change? Read the first chapter of the book in Genesis. He didn't breathe into the, he breathed into man. The breath of Zoe, himself, his spirit, who he is. And he made Adam in his image. Not just a little, but just like God. The only difference was Adam was created and God was eternal. But his spirit was in Adam. His mind was in Adam. Adam and Eve were amazing. Geniuses. They were... The mind is an eternal thing. So what science has said, well, man is just... He's a body and a brain.
No.
It's not. You are more of the... Your mind is not your brain. Your brain is the physical organ that your mind operates through. And if your brain dies, you'll still have your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your eternal being, your spirit. In your soul and your spirit, two different things. But you still have your mind, even when your brain dies. The rich man in hell still had his mind intact and his memory. Father Abraham said, son, remember. Remember that?
Yep.
So your mind is eternal. Wouldn't it be awful to be in hell and remember all those chances you had to receive Jesus? That's part of the torture of hell, the eternal torture, is knowing that you had a chance to receive him and become a son of the living God. And that's the one sin that God cannot forgive, is rejecting of Jesus, because he leaves that up to you. But if you receive him, boy, I tell you, all heaven is yours.
Amen.
All the promises of God are yours. When you're born into his family, it all becomes yours as a what? Joint heir with Jesus. He's your brother, and he shares everything with his little brothers and little sisters. This was the manifestation of the sons of God that we talked about in our first service, in our first part of this. Here's a good one. People think that God teaches them through circumstances, teaching them through sickness. And I'm not saying you won't learn anything through those, but if that's the only way that God can talk to you, he sent his spirit to be your teacher.
Yeah.
Not calamities and mean things, and he doesn't break people's arms to get them to obey him. He doesn't do that.
No.
This is to a willing heart he will look to. And if you're willing, he'll take you as far as you're willing to go.
Yeah.
Jesus called the Holy Spirit the promise of the Father. It says that in Luke 24, wait for the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 1, wait for the promise of the Father. And then Peter even quoted that in Acts chapter 2 when he said the promise of the Father. That's what he called the Holy Spirit, is a promise. And every promise of God needs to be received by faith. Turn to John chapter 14 real quick. I don't think I didn't write these down. Because I'm going places that I didn't know I was going until I was standing back there this morning. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Start there. If you love me, do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Yes.
That was pretty weak.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Yes.
More better. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember, his commandments are things that he has commanded upon you that you simply agree with. Keep them. He's commanded blessing on you. He's commanded his word upon you. He's commanded these things on you. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, helper, teacher. It's been translated a lot of different things, because that Greek word means all those things. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom who?
The world.
The world cannot receive.
Yes.
So if the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, who does that leave a beautiful candidate to receive the Holy Spirit? Believers, born again believers. The Spirit of whom the world cannot receive, because they don't see him, neither know it. The carnal mind cannot figure these things out. This is what I learned when my brother and I, when they told me tongues isn't for today, or any of these things are for today in the church I was growing up with, I was afraid, I was afraid to refute it because I didn't have the knowledge they had. I didn't have the experience that they had, but I figured, and they would always talk about Paul's thorn or Job's deal, and then they said, you got to have faith. And after a while, I said, yeah, I thought that's what I was here to get. Faith! comes by hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Faith comes when I hear the word of God. Say this, faith comes?
Faith comes.
Faith is here.
Faith is here.
I'm hearing the word of God.
I'm hearing the word of God.
Faith is here.
Faith is here.
With me.
With me.
It's his faith.
It's his faith.
Working in me.
Working in me.
I have faith. So, when my brother and I just started studying the book of Acts together, and this, the Holy Spirit just kind of, he said, has the Holy Spirit changed? And I said, no, it says in Micah, I am God, I change not. He said, well, if the evidence they have for the Spirit in their life is that, and that didn't change, why are you trying to figure this out? So right there I said, I don't have to figure things out. All I have to do is be directed.
Yeah.
And what's my direction? What's my compass?
The word.
Welcome, Captain, my Captain, to the compass of my spirit. This is it. Now, if you have arguments about it, that's fine. But bring scripture with you. This is the standard. This is the compass. Bring scripture to me. Because I have studied it, and most of the New Testament agrees with this. In fact, all of the New Testament agrees with the fact that when you're a believer, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, and you are on your way to heaven, you're going there. But if you want more of God, and again, this is it, then receive the Holy Spirit. He's just as much God as Jesus is. And in fact, Jesus groaned. Do you remember that in the scriptures? It says Jesus groaned within himself. Doesn't that go with Romans chapter 8, verse 26? It says, we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, helps our infirmities. Help by praying for us. See, the word is help. That word, the Spirit helps our infirmities. You know what that word help is? It's a long string of Greek words all put together in a compound word. Synantilambanomai. And it means to take hold together with against. The Spirit helps us or takes hold together with us against our infirmity for us, our weakness. Knowing that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays for us. As we take hold together with him against our infirmity, he takes hold with us against our weakness, our infirmity, whatever, and then begins to pray for us, through us. And then he starts working all things out together for our good. Is there an inner witness in you that's challenging this or that's complying with it? Have I read anything out of Reader's Digest? Or of the Encyclopedia? No, this is the eternal Word of God. It's there for us, not to challenge us. It's there to get us to really just agree with the truth. Now, if the Holy Spirit is a promise, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God in him are yes. But does that mean they're automatic? Does God force his will on anybody? Or does he put them there in his covenant for you to tap into and receive? That's what we need to look at. You know, then I went to this church that I was in. It just seemed like all the power of God, all the blessings of God, and all of these things applied to sometime before or sometime in the future, never now. When I had a need in my life, I couldn't go to him. One day I was sitting in a meeting and it was like my eye, the scales in my eye just came down. And I heard the word Pharisee. Pharisee. You know why they didn't recognize Jesus? It says, the disciple John said, we beheld his glory as the glory as the only begotten of the Father. But what happened is they kept loading all these things on the Word of God, excuses, reasons, things why it didn't work, things why hasn't God spoken to us for 400 years, and adding one thing on another to try to preserve something of the Word of God. That's what their heart was. And so God bore with them. But what happened is they kept adding to the Word of God. And what it was their own understanding.
Right.
And they came to him challenging him with things like questions that were more like the fact, can God build a rock so big that he can't lift it up? That was the equivalent of their arguments. And Jesus went right through with the wisdom of, supernatural wisdom of God, and just launched it at him. And said this, he said that, and silenced them. They could not refute it. It was total wisdom. It was supernatural, power-packed, silencing, Pharisee silencing, Sadducee silencing, wisdom, for which they had no argument. The Word of God is all the answers you need. And if you want them, they're there. If you don't want them, they're there. But I'm not going to preach messages like a day without sun is like night. I'm going to preach the power of God. Amen?
Amen?
There is a Son of the living God living inside of you, and he wants to manifest himself to a world who is waiting for it, who is eagerly expecting this to happen. When is this going to happen? Oh, well, that passed away. No, it's going to happen now.
Amen.
We are in that time.
Yes.
This is an unfolding now that God's going to bring forth his bride in the church, and he's going to glorify his church in a way that the world cannot refute as a final testimony to them before we all go and have dinner.
Amen.
Amen.
And vow eternally. And consummate that vow that we've made now. And enter in and be one with him, and he's one with us for all eternity. And then maybe you'll govern solar systems, maybe galaxies, maybe planets. It's not going to be socialism. Everybody gets the same thing. Got to know the enemy's devices, folks. We talked about that. That was part of the series, right?
Yeah.
Knowing the enemy's devices and... you got to be able to laugh. It says, he who sits in the heavens will laugh. I mean, when we see all of this stuff happening, you got to laugh. Not that it's funny, but we have the confidence to know that they're just not going to get anywhere. Does violence produce anything?
No.
Do lies and deceit? It all works against them to capture them in their own traps.
Yes.
And that's what's going to happen. We're going to see a landslide in November.
Amen.
A landslide. Today we're talking about the inner witness. You know what? It occurred to me, and in my finite wisdom, that we've gone through this whole series without doing our confession. So everybody get out your bulletin. You have your bulletin? If you didn't get one, raise your hand, and we'll get you one. On the back, on the bottom, we're going to say this confession together. Ready?
Yes.
Read. Father, I give you my full attention today. I thank you for the reality of those good things that are in me through the new birth. I commit to being a doer of the word and not a hearer only, and I regard your word as the first and final authority in my life. By your grace, I will walk in the light I have in the Word of God. It is my sincere desire to manifest those good things that are in me in Christ. And as the Word is made flesh in my life, I will let my light so shine to bring you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's authority being delegated. It's his ability. Power. Where did I say to go?
Proverbs 20.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. There it is. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, candle of searching all the inward parts, inner depths of his heart. The King James says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. Your intercessor is searching everything in you so that he can help you. When the light shines, sometimes it's almost accusatory. You want to run and hide. But just open up, just relax. Let him do his surgery. Open up to him. He's your intercessor. He's on your side. God is with you, not against you. The word lamp here would be better translated in the modern vernacular as flashlight or a floodlight, let's put it that way. And searching all the inward parts of the heart, which is interchangeable with your spirit man. Searching all the depths of the heart. The complete Jewish Bible says the human spirit is a lamp of Adonai. It searches one's inmost being.
Yes.
That's your spirit. The World English Bible says the spirit of man is Yahweh's lamp, searching all his innermost parts. In other words, God enlightens us through our spirit man. This is why it's important to be born again, because once you're born again and you know, then you're freed from a lot of the condemnation that you would have had being in the world and apart from God and locked out of his covenants or his love. There's one thing that I knew when I was born again is God loved me. No matter how bad I got, and I did some bad things. Am I alone in that or can you join me?
Come on.
Liars.
Amen.
Look at me so sanctified. You have a flesh, I have a flesh, and we all got work to do, don't we?
Amen.
Yes. Okay.
Amen.
He doesn't speak to our mind. God is a spirit. It says in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. That came right from the head of the church. God is a spirit. And when he communicates with us, he communicates with our spirit. He doesn't talk to your head. It wouldn't get through. It wouldn't make a dent. So he speaks to your spirit. It's a different language. It's a different way of communication. This is the way he establishes his narrative is through our spirit. He shines his light into our spirit. He illuminates us. He shines. He causes us to shine through our spirit man. God is a spirit. They that worship him or they that are committed to him in spirit. And it must do in spirit and in truth. God doesn't speak to our minds, he speaks to our spirit.
Yes.
As our spirit becomes illuminated, three things come. Knowledge of God, wisdom of God, and understanding of God.
Mm-hmm.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things to learn, and it's really a privilege, is to understand that we are new creations. You're not you. You're not the old you.
Amen.
But your mind relates to the old you.
Right.
Yeah. So your mind has to be renewed with the truth of who you are.
Yeah.
And once your mind is renewed, then transformation starts to come, and it starts to permeate every area of your life. And those things that you thought you were cornered, those things you thought you didn't have or weren't able to do, your inability, no. The Spirit helps our weakness. Now we know that we don't know how to pray, so let the Spirit pray through you with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now that's the King James. The real Greek says, they cannot be uttered in articulate speech. That'll work. They cannot be uttered in articulate speech. So they come forth in groanings. Have you ever groaned in the Spirit? I think Leah did a lot of that on the way home. All of us have done it. We've all groaned in the Spirit. And don't think that your tears have gone past God's desk.
Thank you, Jesus.
Read Psalm sometimes. He says he takes our tears and he puts them into a flat or a bottle or whatever.
56.
And,
Psalm 56.
Psalm 56, my wife just said.
Sorry.
And he takes our tears and he saves them. Your heart affects God's heart.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He doesn't respond to us based on our emotions.
Right.
He responds to our faith.
Right.
Because that's where the connection is made. And that's where progress can go forward, and that's where the past can be buried. You guys here?
Yes.
Stamp your feet a little bit, because sometimes that, what's that nerve, the sciatic nerve needs to be woke up. Talking about the inner witness, you know, I went on staff as an associate pastor of this church, and my 1 month anniversary, a guy just came in my office and absolutely blew up at me. He said he was a Bible teacher, and I said, really? Okay, well, do you have a main focus or what? You know, just talk with him. He said, well, I've been sick all my life, and God has shown me a lot through my sickness. I said, really? What has He shown you? Nothing specific. It's always that awesome, that something that's out there somewhere that can't really be defined, but He's teaching you. Are you kidding me? No. And I looked at him and said, God sent the Holy Spirit to teach you, and He sent His Word so that the Holy Spirit could take from His Word and illuminate it to you. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a child and your mother tells you not to touch the stove because you get burnt, and then she turns around to do some things and the kid touched the stove. Now, did he learn his lesson? Yeah, but it wasn't his mother's will for him to get burned.
Right.
And if that's the only way you can learn, well, but God has a better way. It's called the teacher, the comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's your friend. He's your partner. He's your standby. You know, let's say Phil said, Pastor Tom, I'm going to call you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So 2 o'clock comes, and I've got my head on the stove. And then Lori comes and says, what are you doing on the stove? Well, Phil said he's going to call. Well, is he going to call me through the stove? Maybe that's a poor illustration. Phil, you wouldn't call me through my stove, would you? I mean, I use the stove. We bake in there in the oven to make meals, and we prepare things on there to so forth. You need that, especially when you want to boil water. So it's a useful thing. But he's not going to contact me through the stove. And there are so many Christians waiting around at the stove, and God is literally shouting to them, pick up your phone! Give me your spirit. Open up to your heart.
Yeah.
This is the way, and he's not going to rearrange all of his truth just to accommodate your unbelief
or your
misunderstandings or anything. No, he will give you understanding.
Yes. That's good.
He will teach you. He's already committed to that.
Yes.
He will comfort you. He will help you.
Yes.
But he's not going to force it on you. You need to cooperate with him.
Amen.
Guys, some of you are looking at me like, you getting this?
Yeah.
But on that 1 month anniversary, I'll get back to that, your rabbit trail. Then this other thing happened. There was other kid just totally blew up. And I said something to him, and he started doing wheelies in the, you know, Revenus engine doing wheelies. And there was a gravel driveway, a parking lot at the time, and stones were coming up. I think he wanted to hit me. He wanted to stone me. And the lead pastor came in and said, what's God showing you through all that? And I said, excuse me? He said, what's the Lord showing you through all that? I said, God doesn't talk to me through those things. God talks to me through his word. If they don't agree with the word, there's no fellowship. Yep. But I'm going to get my, now can I get some worldly understanding, worldly wisdom through that? Sure. But God doesn't use those things to show me anything.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I put to him. I said, God speaks to me one way. He speaks to me by his word. The Holy Spirit takes his word and shows it to me. That's what he said in John chapter 16. He will take the things of mine and show it to you. He will glorify me. He will do these things. Don't ask the Holy Spirit to show himself to you, because he won't. But if you say, Holy Spirit, tell me about Jesus, he'll say, have a seat. I'll tell you all about him. And it'll increase your ability to walk with him and understand him. It's all in here, folks. He leads you through the peace of God. That's one inner witness. It says, let the peace of God be the ruler or the umpire of your heart or your decisions. Let the Spirit, you know, let that peace of God. His presence is the presence of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Let, if you have a peace, and it's like a velvety feeling right here. It's like velvet. It's nice. But if it feels dead, that's not the Lord. God's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. But his peace is supercharged with authority and power. It's a completeness. That's what the word is. It's a completeness of the peace of God. So that when you're looking at a dryer, and you, I mean, where's that in the Bible? In there. But the peace of God rules your decision. If you have an inner witness for that, it'll help you. Did you get anything out of this today?
Yes.
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 Good. Oh.
Place to write.
Yeah. Get one of those big notebooks.
I know.
Praise God. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord, you say, well, I grew up in church and everything. Have I ever? Well, if you don't know, then you haven't received him. If you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, you haven't received him. So I'm going to ask you to pray this very simple prayer. God is not complicated. He knows your heart. He loves you very much. He is all good for you. He's a good God. Just pray this very simple. Everybody bow your heads. And everybody pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that the Father raised you from the dead. I believe you did it for me. I'm a sinner. And I keep sinning. Help me. Help me. Come into my heart. Make me new. Make me born again. And I will love you and serve you all the days of my life. Thank you. Thank you. I receive, say this, I receive my forgiveness. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, you were born into the kingdom of God. You were born into the family of God. You weren't born into a system of rules. You were born into a family with a father.
Yes.
He loves you. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all of your gifts, all of the things that you did on our behalf. Lord, it says in Corinthians that we come behind in no gift, waiting for your coming. The gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness, the gift of your Spirit, the gift of your Word of God, the gift of faith. All of these things are working together in us. Help us to put one foot in front of the other and to organize through the Holy Spirit, bring organization into our life so that we can walk in an orderly fashion and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.